intelligence and law enforcement agencies have disrupted countless plots here and overseas and worked around the clock to keep us safe. Our military and counterterrorism professionals have relentlessly pursued terrorist networks overseas, disrupting safe havens in several different countries, killing Osama bin Laden.
But Obama didn't happen to mention that Representative Stephen Lynch, Democrat of Massachusetts, disclosed that a congressional investigation recently found that at least 72 people working at the Department of Homeland Security also were on the terror watch list. What would have been a scandal 30 years ago was barely mentioned today. Enter Donald Trump.
Donald J. Trump is calling for a total and complete shutdown of Muslims entering the United States until our country's representatives can figure out what the hell is going on.
Soon after that statement, the liberal reactionaries on Twitter replied with fervor, even going so far as to call for Trump's assassination. Tweets included, "Can we kill Trump? Now he wants to impede Muslims from entering the U.S. Someone really needs to kill Trump ASAP. Somebody kill Trump. I genuinely mean it. And I'd rather murder Trump and rot in jail than let my kid grow up in a world with Trump as president." Fresh off of backtracking her statements disregarding the First Amendment, it appears Attorney General Loretta Lynch would find all of this call to violent action, at the very least, predicating. Of course, she won't bat an eye because Trump is on the wrong team. The lamestream media began to weigh in with their bought and paid for tactics.
You have leaders from your own party in the key states of Iowa, New Hampshire, South Carolina. You have galvanized political rivals all saying this is un-American and extreme and that it makes you a fascist. How do you respond?
Well, I totally disagree. You take a look, Chris, at what's going on, and it is disgraceful. First of all, you know, people quickly forget World Trade Center 1, World Trade Center number 2.
I've said this 100 times the last couple months. They killed Trump. They're coming after me. Joe Rogan, Tucker Carlson, Elon Musk is even above us on that list because they know who's chosen humanity, who won't sell out, who wants prosperity, who wants to stop World War III.
The American people are seeing the corruption that they've suspected from their government agencies, who've been populated by the Obama workers and the Obama appointees for over a decade. So Trump has an opportunity now, when he ascends the stage and speaks at every podium, to say, this has been a turning moment for me. This has been a moment of wisdom and a moment of reflection when a bullet whizzes by your ear. And the pain of being bloodied and scarred and hurt and traumatized. But I continue on. But they may try it again. But let me say, if they try it again, you know, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. I don't fear death. I am serving the American people. I'm serving the Constitution. I took an oath to support the Constitution against all enemies, foreign and domestic, and we're facing domestic enemies.
Let me give you one bottom line. As a former government official, government's going to kill this guy.
And the donor class can't just sit back on the sidelines and say, oh, well, don't worry, this will all work itself out. They're still going to have to go out and put a bullet in Donald Trump. And that's a fact.
You take on the intelligence community, they have six ways from Sunday at getting back at you.
And Trump has promised to focus on the profound reform of the entire intelligence apparatus itself. Not only the CIA, but also the FBI, also the NSA. What would that mean? It would mean the firing or early retirement of thousands of agents and bureaucrats that have been involved in covert operations the world over, who know where the bodies are buried.
They'll definitely work through some of the cutards that you've got your order from Trump. Now, the truck's waiting here. You've already seen them get them to run trains off cliffs and attack the Hoover Dam and all that. Q is run by the deep state.
You're exactly right, Alex. The Q thing is a deep state operation. Now, they are probably planning on using these MS-13 military-age young men who've been brought into the country to start doing guerrilla warfare operations, throwing out grenades and shooting automatic weapons into churches and police stations. It's how you traumatize America. They're going to engage in domestic terrorism operations, but they're going to lose because, again, this week the American public woke up like never before. They've been adrenalized. They've suddenly become Braveheart, rushing onto the field of battle.
I do want to tell you about InfoWars MD. Discover the newest line of supplements from InfoWars designed to boost vitality and enhance overall well-being, available exclusively at InfoWarsStore.com. Whether you're looking to support immune health, improve cognitive function, or increase energy levels, our meticulously crafted formulas cater to diverse needs. We have Ageless Vitality Collagen, Superfood Greens, Mushroom Max, Turmeric 95, Better Mood Plus, Libido RX, CBD, Full Spectrum 10 and 25 milligram gummies, as well as so much more. The premium InfoWars Lifeline. It's InfoWars MD, and it's available now at 25% off at InfoWarsStore.com. I suggest the collagen, and just search it yourself. I'm not going to make any medical claims here, but search the importance of collagen in the aging process and see why taking collagen as a supplement can be perhaps the most powerful thing you do to reverse the signs of aging.
It's Thursday, July 18th, in the year of our Lord, 2024. And you're listening to The American Journal with your host, Harrison Smith. Watch it live right now at band.video.
I think it's time to blow this thing, get everybody in the stuff together. Okay, 3, 2, 1, let's jam.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to The American Journal. I'm your host, Harrison Smith. We have a very big show for you today. We'll be joined by Ed Tarpley in the 9 o'clock hour. We're talking about what's been happening at the RNC. More information coming out about the assassination attempt. More convoluted and bizarre information, if I'm being honest with you. Yet again, the more we hear, the less we understand in a strange sort of paradigm. We're going to take your calls throughout the show as well and take a look at just some of the suspicious activity of the deep state surrounding this assassination attempt, as well as show you some clips from the RNC last night, which was another pretty good night. It was pretty good as far as I'm concerned. We'll get into all of it and more, plus your phone calls. Stay tuned. But first, here it is, your Daily Dispatch. All right, here it is, folks, your Daily Dispatch for Thursday, the 18th of July, 2024. Mayorkas is blocking Secret Service director from testifying. The Department of Homeland Security has opened an investigation after the Secret Service catastrophically failed to protect former President Donald Trump at a rally in Butler, Pennsylvania last weekend. Trump narrowly escaped death after a bullet went through his ear while he was speaking at the lectern. The shooter was positioned on an unsecure roof just 140 yards away from the stage. The DHS Inspector General has also now opened an investigation into this. Republicans and Democrats on Capitol Hill have also launched separate investigations and have called on Secret Service Director Kimberly Cheadle to testify on Monday, July 22nd. According to House Speaker Mike Johnson, DHS Secretary Alejandro Mayorkas is attempting to block Cheadle from testifying. Johnson called on Cheadle to resign during an interview with Fox News Wednesday morning. Johnson's claim is backed up by reporting from Tuesday that she's not going to testify on Monday. Biden's Department of Homeland Security, led by impeached Secretary Alejandro Mayorkas, just stepped in to block the Secret Service from providing a previously agreed to briefing to lawmakers on the House Oversight Committee. This is not how you inspire confidence. Alejandro Mayorkas and Merrick Garland are both now engaged in some sort of obstructive activity to the oversight of Congress. We've been telling you for a very long time now that this is the sort of main conflict in American politics right now, which is the executive branch consolidating power and usurping authority from Congress in very obvious and upfront ways. And if Congress allows this to happen, then that's it. That's it for our elected representation. So for the sake of actual democracy, like all these people yelling about democracy being destroyed, well, the people in power right now are systematically eliminating our elected representation and our ability for people that actually have to in some way respond to us, our local congressmen or senators, are being completely disempowered, and they have apparently no ability to hold the executive in check, meaning that that carefully balanced system of checks and balances with the three branches of the government is being eliminated as everything's folded into the executive branch, meaning that the only say that we'll have in our government is voting on which puppet talks to us every 4 years, while the people in the background actually running things never have to get put to a vote and aren't even observed by or you know, provided oversight by anybody who's been elected. It's the actual death of democracy, and it's actually happening. And Congress may have to take extreme measures to rectify the situation. Alejandro Mayorkas and Merrick Garland should honestly both be in handcuffs. But we'll see. Meanwhile, the DHS Inspector General has launched an investigation into Secret Service after failed protection led to attempted assassination of Donald Trump. The Department of Homeland Security's Inspector General is investigating the Secret Service after the agency failed to prevent that assassination attempt. The notice stated the Office of Inspector General was evaluating the Secret Service's process for securing President Trump's July 13th, 2024 campaign event. The notice was not conspicuously posted on its website, but listed on ongoing projects with the word new next to it. There's no formal announcement of the investigation or details on when it began. President Joe Biden has also ordered a review of security measures at the rally. So we're getting like five different investigations at this point. But we know the way that investigations typically work, especially if, you know, the FBI is in charge of them, which they would be the, you know, authority in this. They would be the, you know, top law enforcement area. And you know, obviously, congressional investigations should supersede that. But if the FBI refuses to hand over information and then ignores contempt of Congress charges like Alejandro Mayorkas is doing and like how Merrick Garland is doing, I guess the FBI will just investigate and then all of the evidence will go missing. And that'll be that. So we'll see. Meanwhile, Biden yesterday said medical condition could prompt him to drop out of race if doctors came to me. President Biden said in a new interview that he would consider dropping out if he's diagnosed with a medical condition by doctors, giving the clearest indication yet that he may be faltering in his vow to seek a second term. The 81-year-old president made his remark in a BET interview taped Tuesday when asked what it would take to prompt him to reconsider his candidacy. And then later that day, he was, in fact, tested positive for COVID. "We'll self-isolate in Delaware," White House said. Did he really test positive for COVID, or does he just want to hang out in Delaware? We don't know. He canceled his speech Wednesday evening after he tested positive for COVID-19. Following his first event in Las Vegas, "He will self-isolate in Delaware," the White House said. "He will be returning to Delaware, where he will self-isolate and will continue to carry out all of his duties fully during that time."
The White House. Can he do that forever?
Yeah. Can he just stay there? "I feel good," he told reporters. Wouldn't that be something? COVID ushered him in through the lockdowns and the mail-in ballots. And then COVID might usher him out as a viable excuse for removing him to still make it look like Democrats are unified. Wouldn't that be convenient? And again, we'll get into that a little bit more. And by the way, I went on Roads to Liberty with Hobbs last Friday and Simon from Florida, and he made the very astute observation that Lloyd Austin has been making speeches that sound extremely presidential about American unity and all these other things. So Lloyd Austin gave a speech to NATO. It sounded like it was a straight up presidential campaign speech. And as soon as he said that, it hit me what a perfect choice Lloyd Austin would be. He's the Joint Chiefs of Staff chief. He's black. He's a military guy. He's clearly a Democrat. He's clearly anti-Trump. He's also long, long time business partners with Anthony Blinken, who is currently, you know, acting as president. So that would be the most convenient thing for Blinken and his crew, a loyal, you know, long tested puppet to replace Biden and allow, you know, the Anthony Blinkens in the administration to continue to run things without too much interference. I think that might be the most viable option I've heard for a potential replacement for Joe Biden. I know Michelle Obama is the top of a lot of people's lists, and I really just don't see that. I just don't. It's possible, but it's also a very far ask. Kamala Harris, obviously, it's just terrible. Nobody likes her at all, most especially on the Democratic side. Gavin Newsom just looks like a psychopath. I don't know. That's sort of a non-starter as well, considering the fact that California is just doing terribly under him. I think Lloyd Austin might be the best bet. I think Lloyd Austin might be the dark horse in this. But we shall see. We shall see. It does look like Biden is being pushed out, and we'll cover some of those stories a little bit later. But finally, we have this. J.D. Vance makes his first primetime speech at convention after being chosen by Trump as a running mate. His speech was, I thought, fantastic. And if you listen to the show on Monday, or was it Tuesday, whenever the day after the first RNC was, I sort of mentioned some things that I would like to see the Republicans talk about. And J.D. Vance, I'm not kidding, I think hit every single one of them. I talked about you need to be speaking to millennials about why they can't buy houses and what got us to that point. And literally J.D. Vance is like, people are looking around, they can't buy houses. And I'll explain exactly how we got to that point. It's like, oh, wow, this is exactly what we wanted. Appalachia's revenge, J.D. Vance. And of course, I think we showed you the speech from J.D. Vance when he was first chosen as VP, where he talked about how America is not just an idea. It's not just a set of ideas. It's a people. And yeah, we have good ideas, but we're not an economic zone. We are not a piece of paper. Our people are not interchangeable with any other people and have America just continue as it is. And that, again, was a central theme of his speech yesterday. At one point, he talks about a cemetery plot in Kentucky that houses seven generations of his family, again, tying his roots deeply to America. We'll go to a portion of his speech now. People will not fight for abstractions, but they will fight for their home. Here's J.D. Vance at the RNC yesterday.
But it's true. Now, when I proposed to my wife, we were in law school, and I said, honey, I come with $120,000 worth of law school debt and a cemetery plot on a mountainside in eastern Kentucky. And I guess standing here tonight, it's just gotten weirder and weirder, honey. But that's what she was getting. Now, that cemetery plot in eastern Kentucky is near my family's ancestral home. And like a lot of people, we came from the mountains of Appalachia into the factories of Ohio, Pennsylvania, Michigan, and Wisconsin. Now, that's Kentucky coal country, one of the 10... Now, it's one of the 10 poorest counties in the entire United States of America. They are very hardworking people, and they're very good people. They're the kind of people who would give you the shirt off their back even if they can't afford enough to eat. And our media calls them privileged and looks down on them. But they love this country, not only because it's a good idea, but because in their bones they know that this is their home. And it will be their children's home, and they would die fighting to protect it. That is the source of America's greatness. As a United States Senator, I get to represent millions of people in the great state of Ohio with similar stories, and it is the great honor of my life. Now, in that cemetery, there are people who were born around the time of the Civil War. And if, as I hope, My wife and I are eventually laid to rest there, and our kids follow us. There will be seven generations just in that small mountain cemetery plot in eastern Kentucky. Seven generations of people who have fought for this country, who have built this country, who have made things in this country, and who would fight and die to protect this country if they were asked to. Now that's not just an idea, my friends. That's not just a set of principles, even though the ideas and the principles are great. That is a homeland. That is our homeland. People will not fight for abstractions, but they will fight for their home. And if this movement of ours is going to succeed, and if this country is going to thrive, our leaders have to remember that America is a nation and its citizens deserve leaders who put its interests first.
Very, very powerful stuff from J.D. Vance, the vice presidential nominee. It really was a good speech. The best parts, in my opinion, were when the entire crowd was chanting Mama. He kept talking about his grandmother, and the whole crowd would start chanting, Mama, Mama. And at one point, J.D. Vance points out his mother, who is nearly 10 years clean and sober, but he didn't say her name. He just said, my mom. So the whole crowd starts chanting, J.D.'s mom, J.D.'s mom. It was very good event yesterday, I thought, about safety and security. And probably the most heartbreaking part of all of it was there was an extended period, an extended segment of the convention last night where the parents of the soldiers who died in Afghanistan got up and talked about Joe Biden looking at his watch during the moving of the caskets, and brought up the point that during the debate, Biden had claimed not a single soldier had died on his watch in combat. And these are the parents who lost their children because of his orders, because of, you know, the political timing of the removal from Afghanistan. And he gets up in front of the American people and says, nobody died. And they're sitting there watching it, thinking about their kids who died under his watch because of his orders, because of the arbitrary deadline that he'd set that didn't have any purpose for being set, but which caused the rush to get out of Afghanistan, which left over a dozen American servicemen dead on the ground in Afghanistan. Just horrible. And again, the J.D. Vance speech yesterday, you know, it was not so unique or novel or extraordinary that it was like Trump in 2015, like when Trump came down the escalator and started going, they're not sending their best folks. That was like a, what am I watching? This is not like any political speech I've ever seen. It wasn't quite that far. But if you think about what he was talking about, if you listen to the way he's phrasing things and the words he's using and the ideas he's putting forward, J.D. Vance's speech was very unlike any other speech at a Republican National Convention before. And I don't want to say he sounded like Alex Jones, because it wasn't quite like that. But his whole speech was infused with the ideas that we talk about here on InfoWars. The ideas of America being deliberately shut down, of NAFTA exporting jobs to Mexico and hurting the middle class, especially in the Rust Belt, followed up by trade deals with China that did the same. At one point, he said that America should no longer let China build its middle class by destroying ours. And it's a new political realm out there, and the anti-globalist ticket is the winning one. J.D. Vance goes on to say, quote, we've heard from the villains about the villains and their victims. but let me tell you about the future. And that was that's the other sort of overarching theme from the Republican National Convention. Practically every speech at one point has some statement of defiance against the end of America. Like every speech is talking about how great we were in the past, but makes a point to say our best days are ahead of us. Not so much in a uplifting, I mean, it is uplifting and hopeful, but it's more of a defiance. It's more of a, we could go down forever. America could be over. This experiment could be ended. Or we can fight and make our future better than our past. But the whole thing is just soaked, just dripping in this idea of, I don't remember if it was J.D. Vance or somebody else, you know, actually saying like, we don't have to take the path of Rome. We don't have to be an empire in collapse. We don't have to, because there's this just idea that's pervasive in the wider popular culture. That's like, America's in decline. America's going away, and that's fine and unstoppable. And so it's best just to get used to it. And the RNC is basically saying, no, we don't have to surrender ourselves to this. We don't have to give up to this. There's nothing set in stone about this. There's no inevitable decline. The decline is the result of choices that we're making. We can make different choices. It's just people in power don't want to. And again, as much as that is the overall concept, and in J.D. Vance's speech, he very much talked about the ways that the decisions made by people in government have led to this eventuality. But there's still this usage of words that I think could be more accurate. Like, still, you hear them saying things like, Joe Biden's just not up for the task of rebuilding America. It's like, if there's one thing that I wish could change about the way this is phrased and the way this is perceived by the crowd and the audience at home, is just the understanding that it's not an accident and it's not incompetence. And while they might not explicitly be saying, well, they're trying their best and they're just not very good, that's the implication. But that's an incorrect implication. The reality is that NAFTA destroyed the middle class on purpose. And everybody knew it was going to do that before they did it, and they did it because that was the purpose, because the ultimate goal of the people in power is to connect economies around the world in a way that's impossible to untangle, to have entire national systems reliant on trade networks that make them dependent on the international community. The whole point of all of these trade agreements, it was never to benefit America. It was never to boost the middle class or benefit the American people. They're all part of a scheme by the elite who have been pursuing for decades, if not centuries, a unified one-world government that required a lot of preconditions, steps taken to get there. You had to do NAFTA. You had to do the trade deal with China. You had to get these international trade groups up and running in a way that it was impossible to reverse. So while the speech was fantastic, I wish the intent was described more.
This is a make it or break it moment, so I need people to connect those synapses in their brain for you to make a decision. If you don't support InfoWars, we will be shut down. And people say, well, they're constantly trying to shut you down. How are you still in the air? God. But God works through people. So we're in a paradox here where the judge says we're open for 3 more months. If we're able to get a buyer under the law, they won't be able to shut us down. I'll just work with somebody else. And that's coming. That's got to be set up. But in the meantime, if people believe the news that we're being shut down everywhere, which they tried to do and failed, by that foregone conclusion, we're shut down. And under the last federal bankruptcy manager who would not reorder product and killed all our advertising, who was positioning us to be shut down and tried to shut us down, we caught him. The judge caught him and fired him. We're almost sold out of all the products. All right? But we have a lot of great products that are still in stock, limited supplies. So I need you to go to InfoWarsStore.com. And we just had a donation button. Maybe we should just do that. You're fighting for freedom in a key election, battling the globalists. We need support. But we want a long-term relationship with you. We want to be symbiotic. We want you to get great products you like, get them delivered to you quickly, and enjoy them and have them empower you and make your life better so you love them and you keep getting them. We want a relationship. So there's the InfoWars MD line that I don't talk about enough that is all the highest quality, whether it's turmeric or whether it's natural sleep aid or whether it's saw palmetto with other compounds that are great for your prostate, also great for women's breasts. It affects the same type of tissues that have those hormonal fluctuations. I'm not a doctor, but I read the literature. You need to go to InfoWarsStore.com and go to the sections that have the whole line, over a dozen products, InfoWars MD. We've got Ashwagandha Gummy. Relaxes you, makes you feel really relaxed with no downer feeling. Amazing. An incredible product. Good Night Sleep. We have a lot of great sleep aids. This one's excellent. They're all different formulas. People love it. Good Night Sleep. InfoWars MD. Ashwagandha with black pepper, which relaxes you and makes you lose weight. These are all concentrates. Joint Relief Max works really well. Great pain relief. Huge bottle of it. You know, jam-packed. It's there. Joint Relief Max. InfoWars MD. Prostate support. Already mentioned that. This is just a top formula. Super high quality. Organic. Nerve Renew. Amazing. To get your nerves, not to kill pain, but to get your nerves healthy. Nitric Boost. Vitamin Refusion about to sell out. About to sell out. Real Red Pill Plus. And something I never talk about and should talk about more, Probiotic Fiber. A super high-end product at a low price at InfoWarsStore.com. Thank you all for your support.
Ultimate Fish Oil is not just a supplement, but a statement.
Morning.
Not only can Ultimate Fish Oil from InfoWarsStore.com help your heart, mind, and joints, but it keeps InfoWars on the air. Your heart is the engine of your life, and Ultimate Fish Oil is the premium fuel it craves. Ultimate Fish Oil is your cognitive clarity captain. The DHA in this formula is a foundational stone for brain health. Ultimate Fish Oil is your joint health general. The soothing reduction in inflammation ensures you'll feel invincible in the info war. InfoWars has never wavered from its mission, and with Ultimate Fish Oil, neither will you. Step up to the plate, nourish your body, and nourish the fight for a future where the new world order is defeated. Get it now at InfoWarsStore.com.
If you are over the age of 30, might I suggest InfoWarsStore.com. I'll tell you how to do it right now. You go to InfoWarsStore.com. You hover over the Health and Wellness tab. You go to InfoWars MD. And you scroll down to Ageless Vitality Collagen by InfoWars MD. It brings you a blend of peptides type 1, 2, and 3. Ageless Vitality Collagen can help support healthier skin, hair, and nails, stronger bones and joints, and enhanced youthfulness. Now, I'm no doctor, so I'm not going to make any medical claims. But I suggest you look into it for yourself, what collagen can do. And basically, once you turn 30, you start producing less and less collagen every year of your life. And then the longer it goes on, the less you produce. And so supplementing collagen can be an extremely effective way to combat some of the signs of aging and ageless vitality. Some of the best stuff on the market available now at InfoWarsStore.com. The InfoWars MD line of premium supplements on sale for the Save InfoWars Super Sale. It's 25% off, an incredible product. Now with that, let's get into the assassination. And still, it's, you know, it's been 5 days since the assassination. and I'm still not sure it's fully sunk in, what exactly we witnessed on Saturday. I know a lot of, I know we've talked about it endlessly, and we've seen the not just the video of the actual occurrence, but the, you know, 3D recreations that show the exact movement of the head that allowed him to survive. What I would characterize unambiguously as a miracle, as a literal miracle that we all witnessed. In a way that not only was his survival, you know, just a miraculous, just out of sheer chance, just like the chance that this would happen was absolutely miraculous. Not just that, but it happened in a way that if you actually look at the details and all the evidence, made it impossible to fake. Like there are lots of ways to fake an assassination attempt. This was not possible to be faked. There's a literal photo of the bullet flying by his head that somebody caught. Yeah, this is a recreation. So this video, that video that you just saw, the crosshairs video, that was a guy who was staying like in the path of the bullet, who'd just been just under the path of the bullet, but he was filming at the time. And that's what saved Donald Trump's life, that little head move. But again, in a way that made it impossible, and there's the bullet whizzing through the air, caught on camera. And I tried to explain a little bit yesterday that, like, people, because the media doesn't explain the evidence behind why people like us think some things are fake, and they just hide all the evidence. They don't tell you why we would say that, and so it seems crazy, because the official story is very airtight, and they'll explain it exactly how it is, and then they just say, and these people don't believe that, and they're crazy, and there's no evidence, and they just ignore it. You know, like they do with everything, right? Just hide the evidence. They did it with the election. Yeah, it did. If all of your trusted authorities are saying it was the most trusted, it was the most safe election of all time, and everything is accounted for, and it's been adjudicated 75 times in different courts, and every single time it was found that there was no fraud. If you're being told that over and over, and then you've got a group of people going, actually, it was totally fraudulent, and we all saw it with our own eyes, you're going to think they're crazy. And so they have this, and I don't know if this makes any sense to anybody, but then they have this event like the Trump assassination that they just don't want to believe. And they sort of just think like, oh, well, that's what you do. You just say it's fake because you don't want to believe it. Completely misunderstanding that the reason we say things are fake is because they're fake. The reason we say things are staged is because there's evidence of them being staged, not because we want it to be staged, not because it's just politically convenient if it was to be staged, but because there's evidence, or there's a lack of evidence, or there's something missing, or there's a cover-up going on that we've uncovered. And so now you have a bunch of people who just want to pretend that the shooting was fake because it's inconvenient if it was real. But for somebody who has made a career out of questioning official narratives, I can tell you this narrative is accurate for all intents and purposes. That we know what happened here. We have video of the whole thing. We have video from an hour before and 3 hours before, and we have the video of the dude on the roof, and we have the video of the bullet, you know, the picture of the bullet flying, and the millimeters that it, you know, shot past Trump's head. I mean, this was impossible to fake. And the miraculous dodging of the bullet. I mean, Trump literally dodged. He literally dodged a bullet. That guy didn't miss. Trump dodged. Okay? Just incredible. And part of the miracle of it, not just that he's alive, but that it means that this assassination attempt by what I think is almost certainly a deep state patsy, a deep state operative, whether he knew that's what he was or not, it means it was the worst possible outcome for Trump's enemies. The worst possible outcome. Any other outcome is preferable to them. Ideally, they wanted him shot in the head on live TV and wanted that image splayed across our screens for the rest of time. They wanted the RNC to be a funeral for not just Trump, but the Republican Party as a whole. But even barring that, it would have been preferable for them if, you know, the scheme had been figured out earlier on and the sniper had been killed before he ever fired off a bullet. That would certainly have been preferable, been easier to cover up, been less of a big deal. We wouldn't be probably even talking about the assassination attempt 5 days later if it had just been a man with gun found near Trump rally. Man with gun arrested near Trump rally. Potential assassination attempt, right? It just wouldn't have been a big deal, wouldn't have been a thing. There wouldn't have been this level of scrutiny to it. So these people set Trump up to be assassinated. They absolutely did. They allowed him to go out in an unsecure place with suspicious people walking around with rangefinders. They allowed this guy to maneuver for hours. And there's more video now where he's caught in the background. People are like filming the big Jumbotron. And you can see behind this dude is acting so suspicious. It's legitimately insane that he was allowed to. He's just wandering around, like looking up at the roof buildings and looking like he's trying not to look suspicious. It's so suspicious. They could have caught him at any time. So they set him up. They allowed this guy to operate. You know, he may have been more tied into the deep state than we know. And I think at this point, the theory that I expressed yesterday, I think there's more and more evidence to it. I truly believe at this point, if I had to put my money on anything, it's that this guy, this shooter, Thomas Crooks, was in communication with the FBI or some other DHS organization. I think he was being strung along to be a patsy so they could bust him, you know, give him fake explosives or explosive parts, running the same thing they've done over and over and over again. As it's been admitted, I mean, this is not conspiracy theory. This is public record that the FBI will find a vulnerable person. Sometimes they're like literally retarded. They're like mentally ill, schizophrenic people.
Sometimes they're just trans.
Sometimes they're just trans. And there's rumors about this guy being trans. I don't really believe that either. There's a photo that's been going around. I don't think that's him, though.
He was just trying it out.
Yeah, maybe he was just experimenting. But no, I think they were leading him on. They were going to... yeah, there he is looking suspicious in the background. Yeah, we'll show you that full video in just a little bit. And, you know, whether this was the completion of his mission or whether he went, you know, without permission to try to carry out this attack, I think that explains the scrambling that you're seeing from the DHS and Secret Service. And it's why you're seeing them not resign. And I'll show you some testimony from an explosives expert on the other side that gives credence to this theory.
Let's go to Nurse Keith in Oregon. You're on the air. Welcome and thanks for holding.
About an hour ago, you were kind of explaining to people about how the micronutrients and stuff that are available in different foods actually had an effect on...
let's be clear. There isn't long-term billion-year evolution. There's jumps, but how you build a car, cars have evolved, or electricity, or computers have changed. There is innovation, and humans do get ancestral memories from their ancestors. That's called instincts. Yes.
Not trying to brag, but I'm a board-certified wound care associate, which is not an easy certification to get. It takes years. And it encompasses, you know, cardiology, endocrine, pulmonary, you name it. You've got to be good at all kinds of stuff. And let's face it, a lot of my doctors, they don't know anything about this stuff. It's my job as a nurse to figure it out. And
the average medical doctor gets 2 hours of college education on nutrition.
So one of the things that I do is I'm looking for results. And by using very good nutraceuticals and supplements and things like that, I can fix a problem. Give you just a real quick example. Let's say you have a really bad wound on your leg and you have diabetes and poor circulation. Well, I can order you a bottle of Nitric Boost, a bottle of Vasobeat, and get your ass up on a treadmill a little bit. But these things work better than any of the medication that we give. So I've got about 35,000 points because I give these things away as gifts.
Hold on. This is important. Patients. This is important. Absolutely. Just iodine alone It's essential. It means you die without it. They don't tell you most people are deficient. 2 billion people have cognitive disabilities, the UN admits. That's what these concentrated plants and other compounds do. So you're saying you're taking care of people with wounds, one of the biggest medical industries out there, super tough job. You're seeing with nutrition, and also they need to not be sedentary, obviously. You're seeing massive effects, because I've actually read about this. I'm not an expert like you, but that there's massive problems. Because the doctors don't even say exercise or get out of the bed or take supplements that are good for your skin. And it's so simple. I mean, my wife takes supplements to have good hair and good nails, and it really works for her. I mean, this stuff works. It's the compounds. Tell people about some of the things you've witnessed.
Alex, I would not have 35,000 Patriot points if this stuff didn't work. I'm not into buying BS, and I don't push BS. When I've got a complex wound and I see something that you guys sell that I know perfectly fits, I love vitamin C and zinc. It's simple stuff, but the difference is the things that you guys sell versus what I buy at Walmart, they're not even in the same game. The stuff that you guys sell is legit.
We can sell the stuff Walmart sells, synthetic stuff, and the bottle costs more than what they're selling. With us, these products, some of these products are costing us $30 a bottle, like DNA Force, okay? I mean, so there's cost because it is the highest rated.
If you're taking a nitrate, like you were talking about the nitrate boost, well, that is going to vasodilate. So when you're vasodilated, yeah, you're going to be pitching a proper 10. The VasoBeat does the exact same thing. But it also helps if I've got a person who's got really poor perfusion, and I just want to get their blood flow going so that I can keep this wound from going septic and actually get some granulation going. Or I could throw all the medications at it. Not going to do a damn thing. The doctors see the patient for 10 minutes, write a prescription, and say, okay, come back in 45 days. And it's my job to actually go figure it out. And so I use a lot of the stuff that you guys have.
Thank you so much, and God bless you, Nurse Keith. We'll talk to you soon. Get his name and number.
How you get so much favor on your side? Accept the measure, Lord and Savior, I replied. That's your love, that neighbor, not the bad.
I'm learning a lot more about this assassination, but every new piece of information seems to inspire more questions than answers. And we reported yesterday on some of the put options that were placed on Donald Trump's Truth Social stock in the hours and days just before this event happened, perhaps hinting at some sort of foreknowledge by a firm here in Austin, actually, strangely enough. And we'll get to that in just a second. But let's just take this assassination attempt like any other crime and look at it like it was just, you know, some stockbroker in Minnesota to, you know, gets shot at while he's getting in his car after work and gets grazed by the bullet. And what are the questions you would ask? Well, the first question the police always ask is, who would benefit from this? Or, as they usually put it, did he have any enemies? It's always like the first question you'll see in a murder investigation. They'll bring in a friend of the deceased, and they'll say, who would want him dead? Who were his enemies? Did he have any? Is there anybody that he's made so mad they'd want him dead? And when you ask that about Donald Trump, that doesn't really narrow it down very much, does it? But if you had to define Trump's enemies in one word, it might be the word intelligence. Yes, Donald Trump's an enemy of intelligence. He's the enemy of the intelligence community in America, who has made their antipathy towards the 45th president very well known throughout his time running for and then in office. I have a 6-minute compilation, a full decade of Obama's deep state Trump assassination rhetoric. We'll go to a quicker clip here just to remind you. Particularly the intelligence agencies and the CIA not being very subtle in their calls for Trump's death going back years. Let's go now to clip number 3.
Let me give you one bottom line. As a former government official, government's going to kill this guy.
And the donor class can't just sit back on the sidelines and say, oh, well, don't worry, this will all work itself out. They're still going to have to go out and put a bullet in Donald Trump. And that's a fact.
You take on the intelligence community, they have six ways from Sunday at getting back at you.
Bulleted him.
Well, other networks.
Six ways from Sunday from getting back at you. Of course, it's not just them. We'll go now to clip number seven. Here's a little historic compilation of the threats and violent rhetoric that has been leveled at Donald Trump.
This was posted by Alex Jones yesterday. If he takes the risk of going to trial and he's convicted, that could be seen as an impeachable offense.
I don't see how that wouldn't be an impeachable offense.
That tweet fits the Republican definition of an impeachable offense.
Where do you see an impeachable offense?
It is grounds for impeachment.
Potentially criminal or even impeachable.
Grounds for impeachment.
You may scapegoat Andy McCabe, but you will not destroy America. America will triumph over you. That apparently directed toward the President of the United States.
Is it impeachable?
100% is impeachable.
Very substantial evidence that the president is guilty of high crimes and misdemeanors.
You take on the intelligence community, they have six ways from Sunday at getting back at you.
As a former government official, government's going to kill this guy.
Impeachment's not good enough for Trump. He needs to be imprisoned and placed in solitary confinement. But for now, impeachment is the imperative.
That's right.
I ask you tonight.
Me is with so many people knowing about this. It's interesting, and I'm kind of proud to say this. It took a member of the intelligence community to step up and bring it forward.
It's hard to imagine a set of circumstances that would have alarmed the founders more than what's on that call, where you have a president using the full power of his office to try to effectively coerce a foreign leader that is completely dependent on our country for military, economic, diplomatic, and other support. To intervene in our election to help his campaign.
Talk about pressuring a foreign country to interfere with and control a U.S. election. It couldn't be clearer. And that's not just undermining democratic institutions. That is treason. It's treason, pure and simple. And the penalty for treason under the U.S. code is death. That's the only penalty.
I mean, president is only a four-year job, but it feels like it's taken him 5 years to just fire his ass. It's frustrating. You know, I bet somebody explained how long impeachment takes to John Wilkes Booth, and he was like, okay, well, where is he at right now?
When was the last time an actor assassinated a president?
The call is the call, but there's nothing here that rises to the level of high crimes and misdemeanors.
Well, they're wrong.
And the donor class can't just sit back on the sidelines and say, oh, well, don't worry, this will all work itself out. They're still going to have to go out and put a bullet in Donald Trump. And that's a fact.
So, yeah, okay, that doesn't narrow it down very much. But obviously, the primary enemy of Donald Trump is the people in government, people in the spy state, the people who, again, have made it their mission to try to destroy him. So again, if this was just your average murder case, you would look at, you know, the person's life and look back and go, okay, well, it looks like here they had a former business partner that like was caught cutting his brake lines and then was caught filing, you know, fake police reports to get his kids taken away. And then he was, you know, suing him and trying to destroy his life that way. All right, here's this character that's tried to destroy the victim over and over and over and over and over again. Maybe he just went for broke and tried to kill the guy. And that would be the obvious conclusion. So when you look at, you know, the list of suspects for assassination of Donald Trump, at the very top of the list has to be the intelligence agency. And the fact that this shooter was found with explosives gives even more credence to this theory. Let's go now to clip number eight. This is Matt Tardio, retired Green Beret, talking about the explosive devices found on the shooter.
Things just got more weird for the President Trump assassination attempt. Right down here below is a transmitter, and we're about to talk about why that is a huge flipping deal. For those that don't know, my name is Matt Tardio. I'm a retired Green Beret and prior law enforcement officer, and I happen to be an explosives expert on top of all that. So what does that transmitter have to do with the explosives found inside the vehicle, and what does it tell us about the suspect? So obviously he presses a series of buttons on the transmitter, which then goes towards the receiver. It then sends out an electrical impulse, which then runs through the charge and detonates it. Now that electrical impulse that's sent out by the receiver, or in this case, we're gonna call it the switch, is not enough to set off the main charge. That, my friends, is why electric blasting caps exist. Now, if that's the case, and he actually had his explosive devices rigged up to an electric blasting cap, he could have acquired them one of two ways. The first way is he could have made them. Precursors are readily available at numerous places here inside of the United States, and truthfully, I've even had them sent to my front door off of Amazon. Now, he could have taken those precursors and mixed his own explosives out of it and made his own electric blasting cap. Only problem is, in order to do that, it requires a very precise formula, and it's highly volatile when you're making and drying it. Then he would have to pack the cap without blowing himself up, and so on and so forth. Manufactured caps are very closely tracked, so I highly doubt he got his hands on one of those. Now, the suspect is 20 years old, and last I checked, he does not exactly have an extensive background in chemistry. He'd also have to have a location to dry out the explosives after he manufactured them. And by the way, I want you to picture like a Breaking Bad laboratory. It doesn't have to be that extensive, but a lot of the same materials you see used in Breaking Bad to manufacture the meth is the same thing that he would be using in order to manufacture the explosives. It's chemistry. His parents would have seen that. They would have smelt it. They would have noticed. He lives at home, so he'd have to have a storage facility or somewhere else in order to make it. But again, it goes back into how the hell did the kid not blow himself up doing it, because the temperatures have to be very exact, and if it gets too hot, you can freaking cause the whole thing to detonate right there on the spot. A lot of people are speculating and saying that because he doesn't have a social media profile, it's kind of weird. But I want you to look at it from a foreign actor's perspective. If you are going to be training somebody and giving them the means in order to do what this gentleman did, would you want them to have a social media platform? Answer is no, because all they have to do is make one dumbass comment and the whole thing is going to get tipped off to law enforcement. So you would want to recruit somebody like him who has been picked on in school, likely has a couple mental issues, but also has no real social media presence and likely gets his interactions online through different platforms like, I don't know, say 4chan or Reddit. Once they've got him recruited, then they just need to talk to him. Once they're talking to him, either through, you know, emails, private messaging, whatever, right? There's a million different ways to do it. They don't even have to meet up with the guy. They can just give him a series of tasks. And then once he completes those tasks and they know he's good to go, then they can start dead dropping him the different things that he needed in order to conduct this attack. This whole thing looks shady as hell.
Yeah, and he labels it as foreign actors, but the same rule applies if it was people pretending to be foreign actors. We'll be right back to lay out the case for the deep state being behind this.
Survival Shield X3 is back in stock at InfoWarsStore.com. Now, there are several reasons why you should be considering this product. Frankly, not even considering it, just getting it at InfoWarsStore.com. First of all, we know that nascent iodine supports thyroid health. Now, our thyroid is responsible for several things associated with our health, namely detoxifying, purifying the body, and eliminating the chemicals that we're exposed to, whether they're chemicals in our air, or chemicals in our water, or chemicals in our food. Nascent iodine is key in giving our body and our thyroid the strength and power that it needs to detoxify these terrible chemicals from the way that we are exposed to them in the environment. Now, not only is this nascent iodine incredible for our thyroids, but X3 is specifically designed to be as effective as possible because Survival Shield X3 includes three different types of iodine for one specific reason: to ensure bioavailability. We know that different people have different genes. Some genes are more prone to being able to absorb nascent iodine than others. So we've included three different types of nascent iodine in Survival Shield X3 to ensure that your body is able to absorb and integrate at least one of them into your functioning so that you can be as efficient and healthy as possible. Now, it's not only important to buy Survival Shield X3 because it does things like support thyroid health or because it does things like support detoxification or the enhanced bioavailability, but also because by getting this product, Survival Shield X3 from InfoWarsStore.com, you are supporting InfoWars itself. We know that this is a critical time for our country. We know that we have one of the most important elections, if not the most important election of all time, coming up this November. And so by getting Survival Shield X3 from InfoWarsStore.com, not only are you supporting your health and your body's ability to detoxify itself and power its thyroid system, but you are supporting InfoWars and keeping InfoWars on the air. So go to InfoWarsStore.com right now, get Survival Shield X3, support your thyroid health, detoxify your body, keep InfoWars on the air, and frankly, save humanity.